Praise the Lord, everyone. If you'd stand with me, we're going to go before the Lord in prayer tonight. Amen. I want to pray for Pastor, Sister Lois. They're up at the campgrounds taking care of, I think, inspection today, state inspection, and hopefully that'll be the end of the maintenance work for the season. And but we want to pray for them. Safe travel home. Amen. Anybody have a need you want to indicate by a lifted hand? Amen. Look at hands around the sanctuary. Pick someone's name. If you're close to them, join them with them. But let's go before the Lord in prayer tonight for this service, anointing of the preaching of the word, all these needs. Amen. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, so much, God, for your goodness. We thank you for your love, your blessings, for a beautiful day, Lord God, for, Lord, the peace I feel, Lord, in this place tonight, God. Lord, there's peace in you, God, in turbulent times, peace in you, Lord. No matter what the situation is that we are facing individually, God. You saw the lifted hands, God. You know the needs, Lord, whether they're financial, spiritual, Lord, familial, Lord Jesus, God. Lord Jesus, but you answer prayer. You care, Lord Jesus. Your word says if we draw nigh to you, you'll draw nigh to us. And so we draw nigh to you with our needs. God, Lord, you know those who are watching online tonight, God, the needs indicated there, Lord, represented there. God, I pray you minister to every need, God, in this place, God. Anoint the preaching of your word tonight, God, we pray, Lord. Let, Lord, something in our hearts, maybe we don't haven't even identified it, but God, begin to move in our hearts and spirits, Lord God. Speak to us through your word tonight. Anoint every song that is sung, God. We lift up your name and inhabit those praises, Lord, tonight, God. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Let's give them a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. You may be seated. If you are visiting or being our guest for the first time tonight, we're so thankful that you chose to join us, whether here in person or online. We're so thankful that you're with us worshiping. We want to encourage you to head back to the kiosk if you're here in person, and they will have you fill out a few points of information. We'd love to connect with you. If you're online, you can hit that bit.ly link that you see up there. That'll take you to an online form that you can fill out. Again, we just want to connect with you, get you closer into the family of God. Amen. As always, we have an opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving, and that is through many different ways. As we have mentioned many times, you can go to our website. You can give in person. There is a kiosk. At the kiosk, there's a plexiglass box. You can mail it in. You can give right on our church app, Church Center app. I encourage you to download that. Just one announcement this Saturday. This year we've been having a family focus Wednesday and followed up by Saturdays that we have some time of fellowship called sharing in prayer and time of fellowship and just a lot of fun and time to connect about what the topic's been. This month was fasting. What a great message that was a couple weeks ago. Amen. And so we want to invite everyone. Everyone is invited this Saturday, 5 p.m., right in the fellowship hall. It's kind of an open house type format. Just come when you can, and we'll be there for a few hours. Amen. This Saturday. With that, let's all stand once again and join together in worship tonight.
Singing hallelujah, hallelujah. Place of mercy and grace, find me. Praise God. Let's just wait a minute. Let's lift our hands again. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Now's a good time to just tell God what you need tonight. Ask Him for what you need in Jesus' name. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you would stand, we're going to read from Psalm 37, verses 3 through 5. I want to speak tonight on sandbars, deadheads, and backwaters. I'm not referring to anyone in particular. Sandbars, deadheads, and backwaters. Psalm 37:3. I think this is the NKJV that I have here. I'm sorry. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. I'm not sorry it's the NKJV. I'm just sorry I didn't tell the people in the back. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. You may be seated. Amen. We like this one verse, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. It's easy to remember that one. Okay, I'm going to ask for some audience participation tonight. You know how much I like that. And I'm going to do this and break it into four sections. Everybody in this section over here, including you people on the wall. When I point at you, I want you to say, trust. All right, ready? All right, good, very good. In this section here, I want you to say, delight yourself. Say it again. Okay. And then this section you say, commit your way. In this section, you'll say, in the Lord. Except when they say, commit your way, you say, to the Lord. All right, good. I didn't point at you. To trust, that word means to be confident, to be assured. Psalm 37:3, it says in the Amplified Version, trust, rely on and have confidence in the Lord and do good. Rely on and have confidence in the Lord. And I know that we are expecting the fourth group to pitch in, but that's part of the point here. What are we confident about? Are you confident in your job? Are you confident in your degree or your intellect? Are we confident in our income? In our physical ability? That's for most of us under 40. In your physical abilities? What are you sure of? What are you sure of? What is it in your life that you count on, that you trust in? Do we trust in this building? Do we trust in the government? Don't answer that. What are we confident in? To delight yourself. Now, for some reason in the English, it comes across differently than what I've found it to mean. The word actually means to be pliable, or to be merry, or to be delicate. Kind of like, don't worry, be happy. You remember that? Be pliable. What are we delighting in? Am I trying to fit in everywhere I go? Am I living for pleasure? Am I just trying to delight myself, period? Just always trying to find the thing that makes me happy, that makes me feel good? Is that what I'm living for? Am I afraid to leave my comfort zone? Don't bother me. I'm happy right where I am. Don't ask me to make any commitment to what you need or what you want, because I'm delighting myself. What is it that makes us happy? This is a phrase, I don't know why I came up with it, but it's, what trips your joy trigger? Delight yourself. I think there's more people in this section than in these sections. There you go. Thank you. It's not a competition, but it's a competition. So, the word commit here means to roll or to roll together or to flow down. So there's a sense of getting into something that's going somewhere, being a part of something that's moving. Committing yourself to what are you committed to? What flow are you in? Too often we go along just to get along. We don't want to make waves. We don't want to stand out at work as the preacher. How many of you had the nickname preacher at work? That's not altogether a bad thing, depending on why that is. Are we going along to get along? Are we just accepting the world's view of things? The world's view of marriage. The world's view of the universe and how it got here. Are we accepting the world's view of gender or politics? You can pick your side on that one. Is that what we're going along with? Is that what we're rolling with? Or of family and children? Or education? These things that the world has a strong flow. They roll in certain directions. Are we just riding along? What are we trusting in? What are we delighting in? What are we committed to? What are we rolling with? What are we pliable to? What is it we're confident about? Let's try that again. I thought this was a competition. All right. It feels complete now, doesn't it? That we're including the last part of the phrase. We can commit to a lot of things. We can be delighted in a lot of things. We make the choice. We decide what flow we're going to go with. What we're going to trust in. But those sentences, those phrases, they need to end with the Lord every time. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. We think, oftentimes we wonder why I'm not getting what I want. You know, God knows what I'm desiring. Why isn't it happening? Let's look at Philippians 2:12. Philippians 2:12 and 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, you're good Christian men and women, not as in my presence only, but now more in my absence. Paul's in prison when he's writing this letter, and he's saying, I hope you're still living for God. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Now that sounds different than what we read in Psalms a little bit. Philippians talks about what we do for God's good pleasure. Whereas in Psalms, we're asking about our own heart's desire. What happened to delighting myself? Of course, we know that the Bible does not contradict itself. So we need to reconcile these verses for our own sake tonight. Too often when we hear the phrase, the desires of our heart, we're thinking of our natural, or if I can use the term, carnal desires. It's a thing, you know, the desire of my heart is to have a big house on the lake with a ski boat and a fishing boat with about 250 acres of adjacent hunting land. Don't forget the new truck, the vintage Chevy Malibu, Jim Rivas, the BMW for driving to my house in Florida. But that's not what Paul's talking about, is it? It's not what he's talking about in the letter to the Philippians. This passage that we read starts out in 2:12. It says, "Therefore, my beloved," which, of course, whenever we see "therefore" in the Bible, that means he's referring back to what was said before that. This "therefore" goes all the way back to verse 9, where there's another "therefore." "Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and those of heaven and those of earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, work out your own salvation." Because of who Jesus is, work out your own salvation. But that "therefore" goes back to verse 1. That tells us how we ought to believe and how we ought to behave because of the way Jesus acted while he was on the earth. And that "therefore" at the beginning of the chapter goes back to Philippians 1:29, that starts out by saying, "For this reason, to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake." That doesn't sound so delightful, does it? But there is hope. There's a key phrase here in Philippians 2:12 that, again, translation, I think, will help us. That word "work," that phrase "work out your own salvation," that word "work out" there has an implication in it. That there, what it's really saying is work to the conclusion. Work to the completion of your salvation. The idea is that there's already an ending in mind when we do this. So we're talking about what we do now is necessary to achieve the ultimate goal of our salvation. There's a plan at work, is what Paul is saying, that all of this that leads up to this thought, because of who Jesus is, because of what he did for us, because of what we can do in him, let us look at the conclusion, look forward to the ending that he has in store for us, no matter what it is that we have to do now. There's a plan at work. Psalm says that if we trust in the Lord, we can live in the land and feed on his faithfulness. In other words, it's saying that he will provide for us. I'm hoping tonight that someone, that I believe that there's a word of encouragement here, that this is a word of faith for anyone who's struggling with any kind of difficulty. We are called to work out our own salvation, but that doesn't mean that we do it on our own. There is a plan. There is an end in mind. God has a goal for us. If we delight ourselves in the Lord, or if we are pliable in his hands, if we're delicate, or if I can say sensitive to his touch, then he will give us the desires of our heart. It took me a few years to realize after coming to God that the desires of my heart should be changing according to my relationship with God. That's where the pliability comes in. He changes our heart. He molds and shapes it. And suddenly our desires are different than what they were before. That doesn't mean I wouldn't accept a ski boat and a fishing boat. Yes, I would. I've got two. Never mind. Anyway. If we commit to Him and we roll with Him and flow with Him, like it says in Psalms, then He, that says He will bring it to pass. Well, of course, the assumption is there that He will bring to pass the goal that He has in mind for us. The desires of our heart that have been molded and shaped by His working in us. He'll bring it to pass. A lot of times we want God to meet our shopping list. This is what I want, God. And we try and manipulate Scripture to twist God's arm into doing our will. But that's not what the Bible teaches us. The Bible teaches us just what Jesus prayed in Gethsemane: not my will, but thy will be done. But what a lot of people don't recognize, especially before they know God, is that His will is the best thing for us. He will bring it to pass. If we commit to Him, if we're pliable in His hands, if we flow with His Spirit, He will bring it to completion. We will reach the proper end if we have chosen His way. When we the Lord. Think of a river. Who knows the longest river in the United States? Not the Mississippi. Who said that? Missouri River. By one account, it's 1 mile longer than the Mississippi. I don't know how accurate that is, but it's longer. The Missouri River. But of course, we all think of the Mississippi, so we'll think. And when you look at the tributaries, there's so many tributaries that feed into the Mississippi, and the Wisconsin River is not even one of the biggest, though that's the only one that counts, right? Now, I'm not a river fisherman. Very few times have I been on the river fishing. I am not confident enough to drive a boat around on a river. Because if you're not respectful of the river, you're a fool. Give me a nice calm lake early in the morning, I'm happy. But if you're gonna go on the Mississippi, you're gonna go with the flow. It already knows where it's going. Now, unfortunately, it's like the one disciple said, I think it was Andrew, I can't remember which one, when he was told that Jesus came from Nazareth, he said, does any good thing come out of Nazareth? Well, the Mississippi starts in Minnesota, so. You fill in the blank. The Mississippi starts in Minnesota, and they break it down into Upper Mississippi and Lower Mississippi, and depending most of the time, it's based on where the Ohio River comes in. Everything else is Upper Mississippi and then Lower Mississippi. But sometimes the big rivers, when you look at them, they look like they're just, you know, so gentle and they're hardly moving. But it's because they're so massive and there's so much water there, they're moving a lot faster than what you think. So we want to get, if we're going to go on the river, we're going to have to take into account the flow of the river. And the dangerous thing is that when you're going down the river, it's not all water. If you ever drive on the interstate going north, you go across the Wisconsin River, and you can always see usually on the left-hand side going north, you see what? A big old sandbar. Not always in the same place. Not always the same shape. And there are sandbars there that you can't see. So if you're in a boat on the Wisconsin River or the Mississippi River, doesn't matter where you are, you have to be aware that there's there might be some sandbars out there. See, I want to get in the flow of the Holy Ghost. I want to follow the leadership of the Spirit. I want to receive the desires of my heart. I want to be pliable in His hands. But I still have to be aware that there's sandbars in life. Now, the thing that creates a sandbar is the river goes over a spot, and for some reason, there's a lack of flow in that area. Maybe there's an obstruction. Maybe there's structure under the water or something. But at that point, the sand that's being carried along by the current drops off. And then it starts accumulating and it builds up. And pretty soon, there's enough there that your boat can run aground. See, if we don't let the flow happen continually in our lives, somewhere in a place when we might not even realize it, it's going to start dropping granules of sand. And little by little, we got something building up in our spirit, building up in our heart. And we're developing a spiritual sandbar. And if we don't take care of it, there's a chance that we're going to run aground, that we're going to get hung up on something, that we're going to get stuck. See, junk builds up in our lives. It doesn't matter how spiritual you think you are. If we don't take care of it, that stuff will build up and create an obstruction in our walk with God, in the flow of the Spirit. That's why Paul said, I die daily. He said, every day I have to examine myself. Every day I have to flush out my spirit. Every day I have to look in the corners and make sure I'm not accumulating any kind of junk, because I don't want to get stuck on a sandbar. I want to stay in the flow. I want to keep rolling with Jesus. But that's not the only thing you might run into on the river. If you're going down the river, there's these things they call deadheads. I'm sure other people have other names for it, but that's the only name I know of. Who wants to tell me what a deadhead is? I'm not speaking of anybody, Brother Glenn. What is it, brother? Yep. A piece of log floating around the river. Sometimes they're just so waterlogged that they're floating just below the river's surface, or sometimes they're stuck in the bottom and they got something sticking up, but they call it a deadhead because it's just there. Again, we don't know when this is going to show up. You have to be aware of the problem that could exist. It's a good idea to have somebody in the front of the boat watching out, especially if Dave Shroud's driving. He thinks it's a motorcycle on water. You know, we all have unexpected troubles. That's life. It rains on the just and the unjust, the Bible tells us. We have sickness. We lose loved ones. We have accidents. Sometimes we lose jobs, and a lot of this it's not something that it's our fault or something we deserve or something we expect, but it's just a big deadhead that we didn't see it. We didn't see it coming, and suddenly there's a hole in the boat. But I'm glad that if I'm committed to God, if I'm living for God and I'm doing everything I know to do, even though I know I'm not perfect, but I'm in the flow, He says He will never leave me or forsake me. So that when the unexpected comes my way, I know He's there. The disciples, when they were in the boat and the storm came up, they didn't expect it. They should have known, but suddenly it was there, and they turned to Jesus, and all He had to do was say, "Peace, be still." He's never far from us, Paul said in Athens. All we have to do is reach out to Him. Praise God. Yeah, I don't like the deadheads. I don't like losing loved ones. I don't like sickness. I don't like my body falling apart. Aches and pains and troubles. But I know that he's still there. He never leaves us or forsakes us. Praise God. If you're going to go on a river, it's a good idea to have somebody with you that knows the river. Even though it changes, every day it's a different river. Because overnight, those sandbars have moved. That deadhead is in a different place. Everything's different. It's a whole new river tomorrow after today. But if someone knows the river, if someone's in the boat and they know what to expect, they can give you a good idea what to look for. That's called discipleship. That's called instruction. It's called listening to the preached word. It's called fellowship, so that you can hear from someone who knows their way around. What can happen is this. If you don't know the river, sometimes you come around a bend in the river and it kind of splits off in different directions. And you have to decide which route you're going to take, which flow you're going to get in. And if you make the wrong choice, you might end up in a backwater. And the problem with the backwater is the flow is in. So if you want to get out of there, you have to go against the current. Now, the reason we end up in a backwater is because we made a bad choice. And that's really the most dangerous thing, is when we make bad choices. Because it's too easy to, once you make a wrong choice, then to keep going in that direction and make another wrong choice and make another wrong choice. And the further you go, the harder it is to get back to the flow. And backwaters, you know, sometimes they're good for fishing, but they're hard to get out of sometimes. And eventually you run into a spot where they get, where the water's low and there's weeds everywhere and they get mucky and gummy. And I don't want to be in a spiritual backwater in my life. We have to make right choices. We have to listen to the people who've been down this river before. We have to pay attention to the flow of the Spirit. We have to be sensitive in the hand of God, so that when we have to make a choice, we're pliable enough to follow the leadership of the Spirit. The Bible says, and I'm grateful for this, that no temptation has taken us but what is common to man. That means that anything you're tempted with, that somebody else has dealt with it before. And you don't have to make the wrong choice. I was talking to someone today in a Bible study, and I think I've made this reference before here, but how many of you remember Flip Wilson? And he had that one character, Geraldine. And Geraldine's excuse for every bad choice was, the devil made me do it. But brothers and sisters, the devil can't make you do anything. There's no temptation that has taken us but what is common to man, Corinthians says. But the next verse is the thing that really encourages me. But God has made a way of escape that we may be able to bear it. There's always a way out. We don't have to go into the backwater. We don't have to get stuck in the muck. We don't have to fight our way back through the current. See, the Mississippi, even though it does start in Minnesota, is going to make it to the Gulf of Mexico. It's going to get there. And nothing's going to stop it. They have locks and dams, locks on the river. I don't think they have dams. Maybe they do. But they have locks to control it, especially up near the Twin Cities, for the big freighters that go through to control the level. But they're not stopping that river. And God's going to accomplish his purpose in this world. And I want to be a part of it. I want to get to the Gulf. I want to be there at the end. When I hear the trumpet sound, I want to be ready to go. I just have to remember to praise God. Proverbs 3:5, and my tablet died just before I came to the platform, so I grabbed my phone. My phone was dead too. So if someone wants to, Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Let's stand. In all thy ways, everyone say all thy ways. All thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Praise God. God works in us. That with an expected end, with a purpose, both to will, that means that word there, will, it really means desires. He works in us to shape our desires, and then he gives us the power, he empowers us to accomplish it, both to will and to do. He will shape our desires according to his will, and then he will empower us to complete it. We're going to make it. I want to make it there. I want to get in the flow. I want to follow the Spirit. I want to arrive where Jesus wants me to arrive. And he promises to help us avoid the sandbars, the deadheads, and the backwaters. Trust in the Lord. Delight in the Lord. Commit thy ways to the Lord, and he will bring it to pass. We need a musician or two. Praise God. So if you have something tonight, maybe you're struggling with a bad choice. Maybe you're dealing with loss or an unexpected difficulty. I want to encourage you to come and surrender that to God. We think that in order for it to be effective, that we need to have an answer before we leave the altar. Well, sometimes that's the case, but sometimes our answer is to feel that release when we know that we have fully surrendered our situation to God. When we feel that release, when we know that we've surrendered it to God, then that's where the faith comes in. That's where the trust comes in. God, I've given you everything I got. I don't know what else to say about this. I'm surrendering it to you. I'm throwing it into the river. Now I need you to carry me along. Praise God. You got an unexpected trouble, bring it to the Lord tonight. If you need to clear out some of the junk in your spirit, maybe it's bitterness, maybe it's a habit or a behavior, come to the altar here and surrender to God. Let's start fresh. Let's be encouraged. Let's leave here tonight being led by the Spirit, being the flow of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. The world needs Christians who are in the flow. The world needs Christians who are avoiding the sandbars and the backwaters. Praise God. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, the Scripture says. Because God's got a conclusion. He's got an expected end for each one of us. Praise God. He is faithful. He is faithful. Let's pray. Thank you.
motion.